Welcome to another IEA Reporter podcast. I'm Dave Harbison, the Communications Director for the Idaho Education Association, visiting today with Mark Badia, who's the 2019 Idaho Teacher of the Year, 2019 IEA Marsha Nakamura Award winner for teaching excellence. He's the mayor of American Falls and also is the founder of the agriculture program at American Falls High School. And it's that last piece that we want to talk with Mark about today, agriculture education. It's a huge economic driver, agriculture is in the state of Idaho. What do our ag ed programs need to do to help support that industry?
Well, ag education, specifically vocational agriculture, was started in 1917 with the direct purpose of supporting the agriculture industry in the local community and in the state, and it continues that mission today. Here in American Falls, we provide workforce for our agricultural manufacturing businesses. We also provide students right out of high school ready to go to work for various production agriculture enterprises, and we forward students to secondary programs where they can further their agricultural knowledge and come back home and be more of a have more of an impact in local business that way also.
Mm-hmm. And you sort of touched on it, but how reciprocal is that arrangement then? In what way do agriculture businesses here in American Falls and throughout Idaho in turn support the education that feeds their workforce eventually?
So all ag programs, all CTE programs have what's called a technical advisory committee. And those committees are designed to identify the skills that students need to come from a program with to enter into the workforce or go on to a post-secondary education that would benefit those industries within the community when those students finish their education. Reciprocally, then those same industries support this program, and I'll talk about American Falls more specifically, sure. In ways that benefit students that may come from homes that don't have the ability to provide a lot of opportunities. The demographic at American Falls High School is 40% of our students live in poverty, 70% are socially economically disadvantaged, 50% are English second language learners, and 10% are Native Americans. And with a demographic like that, it's hard to imagine that students can be successful. And our business and industry partners in American Falls and Power County recognize that. And in recognizing that, they provide funds for this program for the students to participate not only in the ag program at whatever level they want, but through the FFA program, which is the leadership component of agriculture education, at any level they qualify to compete at. So the reciprocity it's twofold, really, because the kids have an opportunity to do whatever they want to do, and our business and industry partners fund us in addition to whatever the school funds us, whatever the federal education department funds us at, or the state, beyond those funds to the level that the students can do whatever they want to do as long as they're willing to work to do that. And in the end, we develop a product that our business and industry partners want to hire.
And agriculture and agriculture education look very different now than it did a generation or two generations ago. You gave me a tour of your facility here, and it's not just planting and plowing. There's welding going on. You've got a computer lab. There's a veterinary track. Talk about the diversity now of agriculture education, at least here in American Falls in 2019.
So at American Falls, we currently have five recognized pathways. We have a leadership and communication pathway, which I teach. We also have a plant systems pathway, which I teach. And then we just started an animal science, veterinary science pathway that our third teacher, Courtney Nickram, teaches. And then our agriculture mechanics is handled by Daniel Hikala, and he teaches welding skills, agricultural fabrication. He teaches our CAD-CAM program, and then he also teaches ag power and technology. So if a student has an idea of what he or she might want to be when they grow up, we have a pathway suited for them that's going to allow them to find a job in the 21st century and certainly maintain and build on the skills that's required for those jobs.
You founded this Ag Ed program here in American Falls. What were your priorities and goals when you founded it, and how has it grown and evolved over the years?
Well, we founded the program in 1990 with the express purpose of providing welders to our ag manufacturing businesses here in town. They were starving for a workforce. And so that was the primary focus of the program when I started, was developing kids that had the welding skills and the work ethic to go from directly from high school into a welding career. And we were fairly successful at that. But then, you know, over the years, agriculture has changed a bit, a lot more technology involved. So the program has expanded to hopefully better mirror what agriculture is today and what the needs of the community are today. And I think we've done a really good job, certainly more recently in the last 3 years, with the addition of the two extra teachers and the expansion of the different pathways to allow us as a program to better meet the needs of our community and our business and industry partners.
What would you say is the ideal balance between classroom instruction, and we see that going on here, and then hands-on experience for the kids out that come out of this program? How do you balance those two aspects of it?
Agriculture education is founded on what's called a three-circle Venn diagram. We have the classroom instruction. We also have experiential learning, and we also have FFA. Your question specifically is the balance between the classroom and experiential learning. And really, experiential learning takes place throughout the program. Most lessons are designed to be hands-on, whether it's in the classroom, whether it's in the greenhouse, whether it's in the vet science lab or the ag mechanics lab. Kids are learning by doing, and that's the FFA motto: learning to do, doing to learn. So even though students read and they write, those skills, whether they be English, math, or science, are all geared to allow for hands-on learning and experience in a given topic.
Okay. In a lot of industries, we hear the term soft skills or people skills. How important are those in agriculture education?
They are critical. And they are so critical that our business and industry partners, every fall, every October, we put on a soft skills workshop, which is a 3-hour workshop for all of our freshmen. And we have our business and industry partners come in and talk to every freshman in a workshop setting of about 20 students in a workshop about various soft skills and the importance that those soft skills play in those students, number one, gaining employment as they go through high school, number two, retaining their employment opportunity, and then number three, the skills that they're going to have to learn and possess once they graduate to stay in a more competitive workforce. Mm-hmm. So soft skills are critical, and our business and industry folks, you know, they tell me every day, you know, Mark, I don't care if the kid can weld, but I care about the kid that shows up on time, is willing to learn, and is willing to work hard, and works from the time he gets here till the time she goes home. And if you can send us kids like that, we're happy to train them. We're happy to pay for their education in some cases, but we need to find kids that have those skills that allow us to maintain their employment.
We've talked a lot about curriculum and we've talked about students. Let's focus on teachers of agriculture education for a minute. What kind of training and experience do they need?
It's interesting. I came from a predominantly agricultural background. I grew up on a ranch in Nevada. I worked on a farm outside of Pocatello. I was in 4-H all my youth, but I never was in FFA. I was never in an ag program. So my background is different. Daniel Hikula grew up, his father is an ag teacher, and so he grew up knowing what an ag program was. Courtney Nickram was never in a ag program, didn't grow up in agriculture, but she had a passion for it, and she went to school to become, and she became a vet tech. So she's alternately certified. She's from industry, and now she's a teacher. So I think career technical education and agriculture education specifically allows for a variety of different backgrounds, but I think it focuses on the passion of the teacher and that teacher's ability to convey that passion to students, regardless of what their background is. When I started teaching, as I mentioned before, I didn't know what FFA was. I didn't. And it took me, you know, 10 or 12 years to learn the ins and outs of what FFA actually was and how to better enable my students to compete. So most teachers, myself included, went through an agriculture education program at the University of Idaho. Most land-grant universities have one in Utah. It's Utah State. And they do a good job of preparing teachers to teach, but nothing teaches teachers to teach better than teaching. So regardless of what your background is, if you have a passion for agriculture, there's certainly a way to find your way into an agriculture classroom.
Since you brought it up, what's the Cliff Notes version of what FFA is?
The Cliff Note version is leadership. It gives the students the opportunity to practice skills that they learn in class and apply them to as close to real world situations and opportunities as you can find in a structured setting and in a competitive setting. And those students that take advantage of the opportunities afforded by FFA typically graduate and go on to be quite competitive in the workforce. They tend to be more successful in college and post-secondary education. It builds the whole kid. It gives them a chance to apply what they learn in a real setting so that it's embedded and ingrained in what they do and who they are.
Mark, here on the ground in American Falls, you've obviously taken the bull by the horns and run with this ag ed program and been quite successful. Statewide, what could the state of Idaho do to better support ag education and CTE?
That would have been a better question 6 years ago. 6 years ago, the Idaho legislature passed the Idaho Ag Ed Initiative. That initiative provided a full-time executive director for Idaho FFA through the University of Idaho. It also increased program funding for not only agriculture education, but CTE as a whole. And it provided what's called Idaho Quality Program Improvement grants that allow programs that are doing the right things and trying to build the right type of students opportunities for grants to further improve their programs. You know, in Idaho, I would say career technical education and agriculture education are certainly on the right track, much more so than they were, you know, 10 to 6 years ago. Is there work to do still? There's always work to do. But I think we're definitely on the right track, and certainly applaud the efforts of our legislature and our governor for making the Ag Ed Initiative a reality for all of us.
Idaho's an interesting state in that it still has a very thriving agricultural community, but it also has these metropolitan areas that are growing and creating different kinds of jobs and different kinds of industries. What should people in urban areas know about agriculture education and its value and its importance?
That's a really good question, because whenever you talk to people in agriculture, we usually talk about the importance of agricultural literacy. Few people pause to think about, you know, if you eat it, if you wear in it, or typically if you live in it, it comes from some fashion or form of agriculture. And it's easy to go to the store and pick up a carton of milk or a head of lettuce or an apple or whatever it is that you're looking for and not think twice about where it came from and what it took to get there.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And for those folks that live in urban areas, I think it's probably more important that they become somewhat agricultural literate. And maybe not to get too far off topic, but with the growing need or want for organic or natural or things with no GMOs or antibiotics, you know, people are starting to look at the label more. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as they look at the label more, they appreciate further, you know, what it takes to do that. So I think consumer trends kind of drive the literacy a little bit. And as agriculturists, I think it's our job, and it's certainly the job of our students, and we try and do that here at American Falls, is to make our public and our consumers more agricultural literate so that they can make informed decisions when they go to the store or they vote on a ballot.
Let's close with this thought. Your focus is agriculture, but bottom line is you're an educator and have been for a long time. What kind of gratification do you get out of success stories of seeing your students go on to post-secondary education and college and career and maybe come back to the community? How rewarding is that for you?
It's a big deal. I will share with you a brief story of a student named Jeanette. Her first memory is picking rocks in a potato field with her parents, who brought her here from another country. And as she grew up, she knew that education was her way out of the potato field. Mm-hmm. And as she went to school, she learned English and she became very fluent in the English language. And when she got to high school, the first time I had her in class was in my honors biology class. And being an ag teacher, I wanted her to be involved in FFA because I saw that potential. And it was, no, Mr. Beatty, I'm just not interested in anything to do with agriculture. I still remember picking rocks, and I'm not having it. So, but I persisted, and finally, her junior year, Jeanette relented, and she became a member of our agriculture issues team. That team went on to compete nationally and placed high in the top 10. When Jeanette graduated, she graduated valedictorian of her class. Today, she is on a full-ride scholarship to the University of Notre Dame and is on the dean's list there. She's majoring in psychology and law, and her goal is to become an immigration lawyer. So, you know, the story of Jeanette, I've got multiple stories just like her.
Sure.
Are typical, but what drives me every day as a teacher is to make the impossible possible for the kids in that 40% that come from poverty that don't think anything's possible.
Very good. Mark, appreciate your insight, your expertise, the great work you're doing here at American Falls. Thanks very much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks.
And thank you for joining us for another IEA Reporter podcast. I'm Dave Harbison.